welcome to all. Let's bring our worries and burdens of this day and this time to a God of complete love and acceptance. Let's open our time of worship by joining together in a song of great joy. Hear our praises, whose words are taken from the Book of Songs. Please stand and let's join together.
May our homes be filled with dancing. May our streets be filled with joy. May injustice bow to Jesus as the people turn to pray from the mountain to the valley. Hear our praises, rise to you, from the heavens to the nations. Hear our singing, fill the earth. May a light shine in the darkness. We walk before the cross. May your glory fill the whole earth as the water o'er the seas. From the mountains to the valleys, hear our praises, rise to you.
You may be seated. Sorry, I had to catch my breath. It is so great to look out there and see all of you. You know, once again, we rejoice that whether we're here at home or in the parking lot, we can be in one spirit in worship. If you're online, no matter where you're at, please be reminded that you can text your prayer request to 540-495-0501. 495-0501, so that they can be mentioned and remembered today. Pastor Susan's teaching is entitled The Rejected Stone, the one who we know to be the chief cornerstone, our Savior and healer, Jesus. There's much healing needed today. There's sickness and race relations, political division, family struggles, communities, and even within the church itself. This year, as a school counselor, I have dealt with more depression and suicide ideation, which is thinking about ending one's life, than all of my years put together. And I'm an elementary school counselor. I'm not a middle or high school counselor. It's overwhelming. This has driven my passion, which sometimes I know has been obnoxious, and I apologize when it has been in meetings and discussions, about our need to return to a safe but normal world. But we weren't made to live like this, and I see the emotional results of fear, separation, and distance manifesting itself in the youngest and most innocent and most vulnerable in our world. But, we have the hope. We have a light in the darkness. Jesus is our one and only healer, and our hope is always in him and in him alone. There is no darkness that his light cannot penetrate. He is not surprised nor perplexed by anything that happens in this world. He calls on us to call out to him, and we must call on him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you gave your Son Jesus to die a death he did not deserve so that we could live an eternal life we could never earn. We pray for healing in our world, healing in our lives, and in our own hearts. And we pray for those struggling, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual, because, Lord, we need your healing. And please open our eyes to those that are hurting right around us, for there are many. And use us, Lord, to help and to accomplish your will. May we yield our hearts and our lives to you and rest in knowing that healing is always in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's join together again in first a great hymn of our faith, Have Thine Own Way, and then a beautiful song of worship, Healing is in Your Hands.
Healing. Amen. Now, if you wouldn't mind standing, and we can move around and greet somebody that you have not greeted for some time. Have at it.
All right, folks, I know you're glad to see each other, but we need to clear the aisles. Because we got some kids coming through. It's children's time. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. I want to tell you about someone whose name was Simon, and he was a fisherman. He was kind of a simple guy. You know, he wasn't fancy or anything. He just was sort of a straightforward, simple guy. And then he started following Jesus. And then Jesus one day said to him, you know what? Your name is not going to be Simon anymore. Your name is going to be Rock. Rock. I wonder how he felt about being called Rock. Rock. You know, that's kind of a strange thing. I mean, you know, how would you feel if I decided your name was not Alexander anymore? Your name was Rocky. No, he does not want to be Rocky. Yeah, you probably don't want him to be Rocky either. But no. that's what Jesus called him, Rock. And I wonder, in English, we say Peter, but that's what Peter means. It means rock. And so, you know, I don't know if probably his friends were wondering, I don't think this guy is a rock at all. I think he's kind of like Jell-O. He's kind of, you know, like one day he's like this, another day he's like that. But Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on you because one day you're going to be solid as a rock. He wasn't right that minute, but he got there. He got there. And he was a big part of why the church happened because he was a good leader, and he was. He was strong as a rock. So, you know, sometimes you get a nickname. Does anybody here have a nickname? That's not such a big thing anymore, which is sometimes good. I knew a shorty and a tubby and, oh, do you have a nickname? You have a nickname?
Yeah.
What's your nickname?
Reed.
Reed, okay. That's inventive. Did you have one? Did you want to mention one? No. Okay. All right. Well, so, but sometimes, you know, your parents were very carefully named you, but sometimes God speaks to our hearts and calls you something else, like beloved, because you are beloved. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you love us, that you care for us, and that you call us by name, whatever that name might be, because you want us near to you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Thank you, and you can head to Children's Church.
Today our scripture comes from the New Testament. It is Acts 5 through 12, and this will be a responsive reading. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, by what power or what name do you? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. The word of God for the people of God.
As I was listening to Jackie as she was kind of talking to us as she prepared to pray over us, I had this feeling that, you know, like, was she peeking over my shoulder when I was writing my sermon? Sometimes you have those Holy Spirit moments, and that was really cool. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, you who made us and redeemed us and continue to be with us, Lord, we come before you this day and we just ask, I ask that you open our hearts, that you help us to hear what it is you want us to know this morning. Lord, be in our midst. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might become what you would have us be. Amen. Have you ever wanted to be a stone? I was thinking about the last verse in Simon and Garfunkel's song, I Am a Rock. And it goes, I am a rock, I am an island, and a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. Well, not a rock. Human beings are messy and complicated, and we have emotions, and we feel pain, and sometimes life breaks us to bits. And maybe it would be easier to be a rock, but God didn't make us that way. God, in his great wisdom, had other plans for us, knows that we can be broken by life, but we can be mended as well. And that's hard to recognize maybe when you're 19 and you've had your heart broken. At that time, having a heart of stone might seem like an improvement. But we age, we heal, we get better. And our scripture this morning is about a stone. I mean, there's Peter, the rock. But then he's talking about another rock, a stone, Jesus Christ. And we've kind of been dumped into the middle of the story with our text this morning. This phrase that Peter utters, that Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, it has become the cornerstone, is delivered in a courtroom setting. And the reason they're there in this courtroom setting is that Peter and John were going into the temple in Jerusalem, and they were going in through what was called the Beautiful Gate, and there was a man there who had been unable to walk since he was born. And apparently his friends brought him there most mornings, and he would beg by the gate. And so he calls out to Peter and John, and they come over to him, and, you know, Peter looks at him. And I guess the guy is expecting money of some kind, some sort of, you know, alms or something. And Peter says to him, I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk. And he takes the man by the hand, and the man rises up, and he stands on his own two feet. And then he begins to jump and praise God and get very excited, as you would imagine he would. And then as Peter and John go on their way, as they continue into the temple, this man follows right after them. He's actually at times, you know, it says clinging to them. And so people around there know this man. Anybody who has entered through the Beautiful Gate has seen him. And so they start to say, Look at that. Look, isn't that the beggar by the gate who can't walk? And then everybody starts to crowd around, and there's this big group. And Peter cannot resist a chance to preach, and so he begins to preach, and it says 5,000 people were converted, which sounds like a good thing, except that the folks who are in power, who are, you know, part of the temple elite, they come to see what all the commotion is, and they get upset because Peter is preaching about a resurrected Jesus Christ, and they don't believe in resurrection, or at least the Sadducees don't believe in resurrection. So they have them arrested, the beggar and John and Peter, and they hold them overnight for a trial in the morning. Well, we know rocks are hard, right? We were having a family get together at Smith Mountain Lake, and my niece threw an ice cube at her brother's head and hit him in the back of the head. And Russell did not appreciate being hit in the head with something that felt like a stone, was hard. And when he, you know, told his mother, you know, that his sister had just hit him with something, you know, called her out for her bad behavior, Emily said, well, it was just water. Well, Mom was not convinced. We know about hard things, right? And so we find Peter standing before the religious leaders of his day, and he dares to speak and make this claim about Jesus Christ. And, you know, the thing is about Peter is that there was a time when he seemed sort of like, I won't say wishy-washy, but not exactly firm. But here he is today. You know, this was the man who huddled by a fire outside of the high priest's residence and denied knowing Jesus when a maid asked him, aren't you one of these folks from Galilee? Denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. And you wonder about Peter at that moment, but something has happened to him. Something has energized him. Something has made him firm in his faith. And he says, when they asked him, how is it that this man walks? He says, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead. And while I admire Peter's faith, the arrest is about the resurrection. Peter and John and the healed man are appearing here because they were teaching people about Jesus' resurrection. And when the chief priest asked, by whose power or name did you do this? The name of Jesus is not the one he wants to hear. Jesus should have been yesterday's news, last month's news. And here he is, his name still creating a stir, a commotion all over again. And I have to admit, in the midst of all of this, I am a little jealous of the man who receives healing at the name of Jesus. Because, make no mistake, it is not Peter who heals this man. He's just the conduit. It is the name of Jesus that heals him. And honestly, if I could have healing like that, boom, you're healed, I would take it. Wouldn't most of us, if they said you could be healed and whatever it was that ailed you fell away? But I have found that being healed in the name of Jesus takes a long time. As Jackie said, many people have been dealing with depression during COVID, from the very young to the very old. Depression has been a big issue, and maybe we haven't talked about it very much, but it's been there, right? Isolation and uncertainty, they've taken a toll on people. It's taken a toll on me. I know it's taken a toll on many pastors. For the ones who already were dealing with depression, it's made it worse. For the ones who never experienced, they are now, many of them, feeling that sense of darkness and sadness. And hey, it's taken a toll on me. I'll take some healing now, please. Maybe you would too. But healing in the name of Jesus can be a slow process. I've been fighting depression since I was 8 years old. And it has a genetic component, and I think circumstances played a role too. The home I grew up in was a very chaotic place. A lot of uncertainty in what was going to happen that day. So depression has been a major force in my life until I was about 23, but I still have my ups and downs. And I was having kind of one of those lows, and we were in church, and it was Christmas Eve. And it was about 3 months after I was baptized and joined the church, about 6 months after Jesus kind of came into my life. And so I was there in the church, and I prayed for God to heal me. I prayed for God to take the depression. And I did feel that burden lift. But it wasn't like, you know, what you see on television where the preacher is shouting, "Be healed in the name of Jesus," you know, and does something and makes the person fall back, and there's those two spotters like you have in gym, and they catch him. It wasn't like that. But I felt the burden lift, and I learned to focus on Jesus, and then over time to see Jesus in other people. And little by little, I was healed. And I think it was because of Jesus. There were other things. There was talk therapy and cognitive therapy and antidepressants and learning what kept the darkness at bay. But I will still say that it's Jesus. It is Jesus that gets the main credit. We're human and we get hurt. And I think about the words of Simon and Garfunkel's song, "I Am a Rock," which are sung as though they are, the words belong to someone who has turned their back on being human. I am a rock. I am an island. But that's no way to live, because if there's no pain, there is no joy. That's what being human means, that we experience both of those. So that's not the song I want to focus on, "I Am a Rock." No, there's an older song, a hymn, really. "How firm a foundation, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled, fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. For I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow will not overflow, for I will be with you, your troubles to bless and sanctify you, these deepest distress. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake." Stones rise and stones fall. But one stone, as Peter said, is the sure foundation: Jesus Christ. The words that Peter uses refer to Isaiah 28, verse 16. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, see, I am laying in Zion a foundation stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. One who trusts will not panic." Jesus is that solid and unshakable rock upon which we can build our lives. Even in the most difficult times, even in times like this, we will not be forsaken. Hopefully we will not be, I know we will not be forsaken by God, and I hope we will not be forsaken in our fellowship with one another. Perhaps we will not be healed in an instant like the man who once was a beggar, but we can be steadied and set right upon that sure foundation. even though life may leave us shaken, we can find healing like he did, not just in the name of Jesus, but in following where Jesus led. Amen. Well, as most of you know, this service doesn't happen by itself. There are many hands that go into it, and I am thankful for all of them. Many things come together to make this happen, and so let us pray. Lord, thank you for all of those who come together so that we might worship you. Lord, thank you for those who play and pluck. Thank you for those who make all these electronic gizmos work together. Lord, thank you for all those who pray for this congregation. They are like the engine that makes this run. Lord, thank you for all those who have given of themselves so that we may praise you. Amen. A few announcements. We want to recognize our graduates in May, and so we're hoping to, I will say, we're hoping, Danny is going to work to put together a video. And so if you have a graduate in your life, graduation coming up, please let us know. Let Cindy in the office know, or let Danny know, so we can do that. Also, we are looking for volunteers to run the projector, the slides and things. So if that's something you might be interested in, let us know. Reminder that we're doing a card shower for Helen Figgins, who is going to be 93 years old, I think on May 9th. And so, yeah, you can see her address in the happenings and send her a card. Also, there's the hike after church this morning. We are meeting in the parking lot and heading out. Might be doing some carpooling. So, yeah, please come join us. Be part of that. Could be a little muddy in spots, but do not be dismayed. It'll be great. In terms of prayer concerns, we want to be in prayer for Judy Wheelbarger, who is a sister of Barbara Miller and Sydney Moyer. She has been in the hospital with multiple health concerns. I also want to be in prayer for Jim Driscoll, who is Tara Stroop's father-in-law. He had surgery where he's at in Africa, and last I heard was not doing too well. So please be in prayer for Jim Driscoll. Do we have other joys or concerns this morning? Yes.
I believe Judy passed.
Oh, she did. Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. So, well, please pray for Judy's family, that she has apparently passed away. So I had not heard that. Yeah, keep her family in your prayers. Any others? Yes.
I'd like to thank everybody for cards and well wishes and
discussion
for your prayer.
So, in case at the back you didn't hear, so Gary Ruhlman says thank you for the cards and especially for the prayers. Any others? Yes.
He is done with the surgery, and he is doing okay. They don't have to go back in and do surgery again, which is wonderful news. He's still at the hospital, hoping to be released this week, but it's going to be probably about a 13 or 14 week before he can actually get up and start physical therapy with his back. So just continue to pray for him. He's still having numbing in his legs, so they're not sure what's going on with that. They're starting some new medication and stuff to try to hope that he doesn't have any damage in his legs from the surgery. So, but I also want to thank everybody for the prayers and texts and calls again for Roy's passing. Kevin's really been struggling as we're going through Roy's house.
So, yeah, so Jim Driscoll is, Tara gave us an update, and he is, so he's had his surgeries, doing better, but has a long recovery in front of him. So keep him in your prayers. And, yeah, and also, yeah, keep Kevin in your prayers over the loss of his father. That's a hard, going through home and all of those things, that's a hard process. Any others? Well, let us pray. Oh, Lord, we come to you this day just as we are. We hear about those who are suffering, and we pray for them that they would receive healing. Lord, we pray as people who are expectant that you are at work in the world. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, and we ask that you give us the understanding that you are the God of abundant life, that death is not the end, but a new beginning. Lord, I pray this morning for those who have been engulfed by loneliness, despair, or grief, for any who have felt cast off from your presence. Lord, help us to reach those who are most in need. We pray this morning for those who are gathered here, and I pray this morning for those who are far away. May we all draw near to your Son, Jesus Christ. May we all be healed by your love, by your grace. May we find hope in you. Lord, we pray this morning for all of those who have worked so hard through the pandemic, for our doctors and nurses, for our teachers, for our students, for they have been so directly affected. But Lord, we give great praise that we have joy in you, that though we may feel pain, we know that there is a time when pain will end and joy will come into our lives. Lord, in your mercy, journey with us through all that we face. Be with us through your Holy Spirit and encourage us so that we might encourage others. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. And now let's pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right. Well, let us stand as we're able, and we can hum along to Victory in Jesus.
Victory in Jesus. his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
And now go forth to worship God on a mountainside, in your house, in everything you do. May God bless you and keep you. Amen.